Adam, first thing, I'd like you to do a quick, if you will, timeline on where the lock is in its progress towards finishing up.
We've done pretty substantial amount of work to this point with the relocations of different transmission towers and highway and railroad crossings that go across the dam. We've moved those to the final locations that we had planned in the project. And we currently have a contract going on now that's doing excavation and construction of the upstream portions of the new 1,200-foot lock. With additional funding, we would hopefully be able to complete the rest of that lock within maybe a 6 to 7 year window with efficient funding.
Pardon my ignorance, but could you explain the difference between upstream portion and another portion? I assume it's downstream portion?
Correct. Yeah, we usually determine, you know, or describe the project in upstream and downstream as the way the water might flow through the project. So the upstream portion of the lock would be the side that the headwater or where the reservoir is, for in this case would be Kentucky Lake. And then the downstream portion would be the tailwater areas below the dam after the water has already passed through the spillways or the lock in this case.
What's the stage of work in that area?
The upstream lock contract was construction of 9 monoliths, which overall there's 61 total concrete monoliths that will be built to complete this structure. And like I said, we're building 9 under this contract, and it's roughly 50% done at this point.
Work is sort of just underway then.
It is on the actual lock itself. Like I said, though, we had pretty substantial expenditures for the relocation effort.
What do you see as the sequencing from here on out, and possible funding sources?
The sequencing would be such that, you know, to match whatever funding is available, and we've tried to prepare the project to take advantage of whatever funding comes our way. So the next large piece of work that we would undertake is the construction of the cofferdam structure for the downstream portion of the lock, which the cofferdam is just a series of, you know, steel pilings that's placed. And then the interior part of that would be dewatered so that any construction activities that happen would be able to be done in a dry environment all the way down to the riverbed. So that would be the next piece of work we try to do. And then after that, we would begin the excavation to pull out any of the overburden, you know, soil, and then also get into the rock excavation to get it down to the final elevation for the placement of concrete monoliths, which we would then start building up from the rock foundation. And then after that, we would end up putting in all the other items that are required to actually operate the lock. So like the miter gate, the steel miter gates that actually open and close to allow boats in, and all the machinery that's required to raise and lower the water levels, and all the electrical components that drives those machinery. And then obviously there'd be some other facilities for our buildings for our lock staff to operate in, and any sort of maintenance compounds we might need on site, as well as visitor centers and site restoration to get, you know, parking lots and roads constructed to have, you know, open for both maintenance activities as well as visitors. The old lock is planned on staying in operation and being used as an auxiliary lock chamber, so that whenever the new chamber is closed for any kind of routine maintenance activities, we would still have the availability to pass lock traffic, both commercial and recreation, through that existing 600-foot chamber.
Money building this project in toto has come partly from the inland waterway industry and the U.S. Congress. And what's the status of congressional funding at this point?
You're right. And part of the reason why this project has been slowed is because that Inland Waterways Trust Fund has been a little bit tight on cash flow with all the different projects we have going on across the nation. But a recent bit of good news that might help out this project and others is that there's a new WERDA bill that's being passed between the House and Senate. And
would you explain that acronym? Excuse me.
WERDA, it's the Water Resource and Development Act, which there's actually another one. This one is actually the Water Resource Reform and Development Act. That's a bill that historically has come every couple of years. They would do an updated WERDA version, but in recent years it's kind of been longer periods between times that they've passed those legislations, but this one in particular has received good support from both sides, the House and the Senate, and it's had a couple of versions that have passed back and forth, and it appears as though they're closing in on a final version that might be approved, and the president has indicated that he would likely approve it if it came to his desk. But the biggest piece of that would affect Kentucky Lock in particular is the cost share agreement that has typically been a 50-50 cost share between federal appropriations and Inland Waterways Trust Fund dollars that goes to the construction of navigation projects such as this, Kentucky Lock, Olmsted Lock, and a variety of others. But this piece of legislation actually has language in it that would modify the Olmsted cost share to an 85-15 split, where only 15% would be coming from the Inland Waterways Trust Fund. And by doing that, that would free up a lot of additional monies that could be matched with federal dollars that could go to other projects. The priority list for the projects as far as our division for the Corps of Engineers is the Lower Mon project up in the Pittsburgh District of the Corps, which is on the lower section of the Monongahela River. It is the second in line behind Olmsted, and then Kentucky Lock is the third priority project that would be in line to receive any available dollars.
If the act is passed, and it seems likely, how do you recalibrate an expected project completion date?
The most of our engineering work has been completed on this, and since we've entered this time of uncertain funding, we've, as a team here in Nashville, we've tried to reconfigure those packages to match whatever funding it is. But the end result is typically that if we were able to get full, efficient amount of funding to our full capacity on a yearly basis, we would be able to complete the lock in a 6 to 7 year time frame of construction, and then it'd be open to navigation after that.
So this is basically pushing back the last estimate about 4 years?
Typically, every year that we don't get money, we would just move that estimated completion date back that 1 year.
How many people are working at the site now, Adam?
With the current contractor we have going, I think they can have upwards of 100 people, including all the different subs that are actually on site, as well as different people doing subcontracting tasks, supplying, you know, different materials to the project. And then from the government side, I think we have a small office up there, probably between 8 and 10 people.
Is it likely that work is going to continue at varying levels of alacrity from now to the get-go?
That's definitely our hope. The current contract we have on site right now is scheduled to carry on work, active work on the site until the early parts of 2016. So with this new legislation that appears to be getting some traction in the Congress, we're expecting that we would be able to get additional funds on the project before that contract would end, such that there would be a continuation of work on other components of the lock so that we wouldn't have a shutdown.
Thank you for speaking with me today.
Okay, I appreciate the opportunity.